Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Inside the Huddle, presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City, here for good.
All right, back here on Cody and Goal. Let's start right with the All 32, taking a look at the NFL. And a trade went down today. I think we're going to see more of these happening as we approach Tuesday. Obviously, it's the trade deadline, but more so this year maybe than other years. And there was a pretty big move went down with Seattle and Cincinnati. So veteran defensive end Carlos Dunlap, now a member of the Seattle Seahawks, pending physicals and everything like that. And you start looking at the trade overall for Carlos Dunlap. This seems like a steal for Seattle. This seems like an absolute bargain. They give up a seventh-round pick, and then former K-State offensive lineman, actually, B.J. Finney, who was up in Seattle, now goes to Cincinnati. Carlos Dunlap's on a one-year deal. This is it. This is his final year with Cincinnati, or was going to be his final year with Cincinnati. Like $7.5 million or so. This seems like a steal for a Seattle defense that we've talked a lot about being having
bad?
An issue getting a pass rush. Yeah, being bad, no pass rush. This should help them out. This was a steal. Seventh-round pick?
And an offensive lineman? And honestly, if you're Cincinnati, what the hell were you going to do with him? He already didn't want to be in Cincinnati. You weren't going to franchise tag him at the end of this year.
I would have been interested at this,
by the way. So he was on a limited amount. What's that?
I would have been interested at this for the Chiefs.
I know.
Now, they have defensive line depth.
Anytime you see a cheap deal, though, you're like, you know. Yeah,
I know.
I could have been talking that. Although they could not afford to give up any kind of offensive line play right now, so I wouldn't have been interested in that.
Yeah.
The seventh-round pick part of it, sure. Giving up any kind of offensive line depth right now, I wouldn't have had interest. If you're Kansas City, but Seattle needed anything to make their defense better. This makes their defense better, right?
Yeah, and the Chiefs do have depth in the D-line. Hopefully, Taco Charlton, Alex Okafor will be good to go. By the way, Andy, when he talked about injuries, did not mention Taco Charlton or Alex Okafor, so that's a good sign.
It is a good sign. My All-32 notice was with the Cowboys, a team that is now essentially openly admitted to tanking. Now, look, I can't blame them. They should try to get as high as a draft pick as they can. That roster still has way too much talent to be as bad as they are. But they're also starting a guy at quarterback I still can't remember the name of this weekend because Andy Dalton is in concussion protocol, presumably won't be ready.
The famous Ben DiNucci.
Who the hell did he even play college at?
No idea.
Ben DiNucci, apparently.
He was drafted.
He's going to start whatever. I mean, he's apparently going to start this upcoming weekend
James
for the Dallas Cowboys.
Madison.
Like James Madison.
Ben DiNucci had like one decent looking throw in that game.
Congrats.
He did. It's like his first throw, I think, to what?
Is Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
I do think that an interesting thing could develop in the NFL this year because there's a lot of talk about how teams don't want to keep carrying these big cap numbers, knowing that bigger cap problems might come. So if you can shed any kind of salary now, you'd be benefiting yourself for what be a more cap-tight year next year across the NFL. The Cowboys are obviously going to be a part of that because they were going to be tight against the cap next year. Some teams are just going to straight up cut people to save a few hundred thousand, a few million dollars they can in roster bonuses the rest of going forward. The Cowboys, for instance, have told Dontari Poe, if we can't trade you, prepare to be gone, Dontari. Which could lead to a really interesting development for the quality teams across the NFL in which veteran players available at league minimum will be available at times they weren't previously made available. Sure, Terrell Suggs usually sneaks through there one or two a year, but we might see kind of an onslaught of veteran cheap players who could be available to both the Chiefs and all the other contending teams across the NFL.
It's possible, and you know, COVID does play a role in this where you have teams that aren't having some of the revenue from tickets and everything else coming in, and so they're like, well, we can shed some money going forward. And also, if you're a team that's truly tanking and has a chance for Trevor Lawrence in the top pick, the Jets certainly are in the front of the line for that with a winless season thus far. But that would be something that we hadn't seen in the past that I think absolutely, Cody, is in play next week to keep an eye on. And also, do we see just a lot of trades where the seventh-round draft pick is in play?
Yeah, probably, because they're going to do whatever they can to make sure that they're at the top of the list, right?
Yeah, otherwise you got to deal with waivers.
Once you have so many seventh-round picks. The guy you want one, sure.
You go post-trade deadline, and if it's a vested veteran, they have to go through waivers, unlike with Le'Veon Bell.
The Carolina Panthers take on the Atlanta Falcons on Thursday Night Football. One, this is actually going to be an awesome game, and I'm really excited about it. Fantasy action everywhere, but it could be the return of Christian McCaffrey.
Please.
Ooh, please. I desperately need him back in one league.
No, I hope he's never back now.
My running back game is terrible in that league. I started Boston Scott and Giovanni Bernard last week, which turned out okay for me, but I need CMC back in a major way. I don't know if he's going to play this week, though. He's been practicing, but they're saying they might hold him out because it's a Thursday game.
I don't think he plays because it's Thursday. I hope he does, man.
You're getting him back for the following week.
Yeah, I don't have Mike Davis in that league, though. I've got Mike Davis in another league. I need CMC more than I need Mike Davis.
He's kind of rooting for one more week of Mike Davis fantasy ownership.
Look at this. This is because Cody gets kicked out of our guillotine league, and now he's rooting for us to fail. Look at this.
Well, I'm rooting for myself to succeed. I have Mike Davis in a league, and my other three running backs are Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
You're mad because
Jonathan Taylor and David Johnson.
My team is noise.
We got Christian McCaffrey from your team that got kicked out of the guillotine league.
I very kindly sent Serta a text that Dalvin Cook was practicing today, a tweet that said, enjoy.
There you go.
As in, enjoy Dalvin's Cook future success.
Tomorrow at 10:30, or excuse me, around 10:45 or so, we'll have our guillotine loser. I was a listener this week.
I called in last week. I did my job.
10 people left in our listener guillotine league, plus Paul Charching going to join us tomorrow. That's all 32 here on Cody and Gold. Coming up next, we'll get to a random question of the day in the Chiefs of the past versus this winless 2020 New York Jets team. It's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
All right, back here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll welcome in Josh Klingler, of course, Chiefs sideline reporter. You can hear him on Sunday over on 106.5 The Wolf, and you can hear him every morning here on 610 Sports Radio on Fesco in the morning. So he'll join us in just a little bit. The Chiefs get the winless Jets on Sunday. Adam Gase, still the head coach. I'm still convinced that he's the head coach because they know that gives him the best chance to get the number one overall pick and therefore go potentially 0-16. Just how bad are the Jets, for example? 32nd total offense by over 14 yards.
Yikes.
Last in the NFL in offensive touchdowns with 7. Last in the NFL.
Seven
offensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
Last in the NFL in point differential by 51 points. They're in last. It's -118, if you were wondering. So just how bad are they? We thought we'd look back a little bit in Chiefs history and some of those years where you felt like the Chiefs just couldn't beat anybody. How about 2008? The Chiefs were 2-14, led by Tyler Thigpen. Could they beat this year's Chiefs team? Remember Tyler Thigpen?
Start in the triple right, and Gonzalez ever in motion. And it's back to Johnson trying. No, he's faked, and then Thigpen throws toward the end zone. Touchdown! Gavard Darling! Oh, my! Great ball handling by Thigpen. And in that treacherous wind condition, he floats one to Bradley, who has his fourth touchdown of the season. No, Darling's first touchdown of the season.
DeVard Darling? Who?
It's the same as looking at Jets wide receivers. DeVard, what's the difference?
Darling?
Are you sure he doesn't play for the Jets now? DeVard Darling played 16 games for the Chiefs that year.
Yeah, he did.
His only year in Kansas City. Not a great year for Kansas City lore. And here's the funny part. I take the Jets so not seriously. And look, the team's got to do something different, right? They got to find their way to convince themselves the Jets are good. And Andy's out here saying they're well coached and they're a good team. And these are the things they've got to say to themselves. I don't have to take them seriously. They can't beat the Chiefs this weekend. So instead, we should look much harder at this team. The truth is, the Jets defense could not hold down Tyler Thigpen. He moves too well for them. Ran for almost 400 yards that year. Had a better interception to touchdown ratio than Sam Darnold will have this year. He threw more touchdowns and picks, 18 to 12. 18 touchdowns in a year, admittedly not great. He only started 11 games, though, so that's more like a 23 touchdown pace for Tyler Thigpen. So the quarterback matchup is even in our hypothetical scenario in which they played the 2008 Chiefs. So that's a wash. Then look at the talent that this team actually has versus the talent the Jets have. The Jets' best player on offense is they have a wide receiver who can play. Okay, so they got one.
Jamison Crowder.
Their second best offensive weapon was Le'Veon Bell, who they never played and then just cut. The Chiefs at least had Larry Johnson, who ran for 4.5 yards a carry, and Jamal Charles. Now, the mistake of not using Jamal Charles is noted. He only started 2 games and played in all 16, and I will not be ignored in what the hell happened there. He was averaging 5.3 yards per carry, and they weren't playing him. But in this hypothetical scenario, Andy is just coaching this 2008 squad, and we're not going to have any issue knocking down the Jets. They also had defensive talent. Derek Johnson, future Chiefs Hall of Famer, Brandon Flowers, Brandon Carr, Tom Bahali. Like, there's some players who stuck around the league a little while.
Yeah, there's a Hall of Famer on there, too. And that would be Tony Gonzalez. Yeah, by far.
How is this team not going to beat this year's Jets? That team was miserably bad, and they're significantly better than this Jets team.
08, 2-12 Chiefs, led by Tyler Thigpen, but with the personnel that they had, they absolutely would beat
this year's Chiefs. Tama would have 2 sacks. I've said it multiple times. This Jets team is a lock to go 0-16. It is the worst professional roster I have ever seen in my life. Like, even the 2008 Lions had Calvin Johnson. This Jets team has no playmakers.
No, none. Just Crowder, right? I mean, isn't that the only person?
7 offensive touchdowns heading into week 8.
This is, and again, this Chiefs team, not great, okay? Admittedly, not a good
squad.
They
were 2-14.
So it turns out.
For a reason.
The worst team in the NFL by a wide margin. But look at least how close they kept some games, okay? Only lost by 7 to the Patriots. Not bad back in those days. 2008, that was still a good Patriots squad. I mean, they got beat pretty bad by the Raiders and Falcons, so we'll move on past that. Beat the Broncos. Played close with the Jets that year. Only lost in overtime to the Bucs. This is closer than the Jets are playing with any of these teams. This team is clearly superior. I don't think they'd be able to hold down Tyler Thigpen. I'm pretty sure Tom Bahali would dominate their offensive line because they can't block anybody. Who on the Jets is going to cover Tony Gonzalez? No one. Right? They can't cover anybody in the NFL now. They couldn't cover current-day Tony Gonzalez, let alone 1,000-yard receiving season version Tony Gonzalez. Dwayne Bowe had 1,000 yards on that team as well. Like, how is this team this bad? And I look at the roster, and I'm like, at least there were, like, capable NFL players on it.
2008 Chiefs versus 2020 Jets.
They didn't even throw a touchdown to a wide receiver.
What would the spread have been on that game? Like, if these guys squared off against each other, the Chiefs would
Chiefs
be
plus
even
seven.
At 2-4, 2-14, knowing they were 2-4, the Chiefs
touchdown
would be
favorite.
Yeah,
6.5. Maybe Vegas would shade under the touchdown a little, just to give themselves a whittle room. Tyler Thigpen would beat them by a touchdown.
You'd have a lot of this still happening. Tyler Thigpen to Jamal Charles.
23-yard line. Thigpen goes to work. A quick hitter to Charles. And Jamal Charles breaks into the clear at the 50. He has the speed. Can they catch him? 25-20. 15-10. 5. Oh, he's tripped up at the 2-yard line by Jeremiah Bell. Bell saves the touchdown. Charles with one of the longest runs of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs, 76 yards.
A lot of the plays like that. A lot of plays like that would happen against this Jets team.
Be embarrassing. Blowout. Maybe double digits. At least a touchdown to go with it. I'll try to find a more competitive team for them. This is about as bad as the Chiefs get, but I will look for an even less talented team because at least this team did have some, I know it doesn't seem like it because of how horribly bad they were, some talent on the roster. Because it was only 2 years later they actually won 10 games with Todd Haley. Another bad team in which Matt Cassel had his best season as a Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. But we know that team would beat him. I had to go back to 2008 to at least find a team that had less talent. Because by 2010, at least they were using Jamal Charles. Not as much as they were using Thomas Jones, hilariously enough. But still using Jamal Charles on that roster, so there was some hope.
We'll take a look tomorrow and see. I don't know. Maybe we got to go. We got to go 2012 or so because that's the one that comes to mind for a lot of people. I'm sure as they're hearing this, maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the one. But this 08 versus 2020 New York Jets team, not close whatsoever.
Random question.
Random question comes from you today, essentially, Gold. So I'll ask you and Certain the text line 913-576-7610. You tweeted out a photo last night of Pizza Shuttle, which to my understanding is a regular pizza place in Lawrence.
Great.
Popular
drunk
with the college kids.
Pizza spot.
Okay. Well, you would ask that, so I'll ask everyone else, what is the drunk spot you wish was a location near you? I went to college in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Whether you wish you had frequented more or could frequent more than you did during that time. Mine is, I wish Mike's Tavern still existed. Right off of Troost, right near UMKC, Ryan Witkowski and I spent many a night at Mike's Tavern. And then it turned into some, like, I don't know, Irish place, and it just wasn't the same. And then it was something else in between. There was like a gastro pub. It wasn't the same. I miss Mike's with the giant moose on the wall and the not very clean floors. That's the place I want to revisit from college. Mine sadly does not exist anymore, so maybe you guys will have a better answer.
You know my answer, obviously, from based off of last night. It's Pizza Shuttle, and it's because I near the new place, they open a location in OP. As the text line points out, it's not even just Lawrence. It's Manhattan, Kansas as well. It's a great drunk college pizza place, and I was running late trying to get to the watch the World Series last night. I said, I'll stop in there because they have a location in OP now, and yeah, decided to have some of that, and it's never going to taste as good as it was in college. Never going to taste as good as that, especially at 2 a.m. when you're drunk. Never going to have that same result anymore.
No, you're not going to be. It's like me trying to repeat the experience of going to Hayes, which is a tiny little burger stand in the Northland that we used to go when we would drink overnight. I mean, it's legit. It's legit, like, you know, greasy burger with onions smashed up in it kind of food that you want to eat at 2 in the morning. Certain and I have certainly talked about Poncho's being drunk food somewhere along the way, so that still qualifies.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Poncho's is it for me. I know there's one in Overland Park, and then there's the one in on Main, which are like the two that I went to. There might be another one somewhere around here, but I don't live anywhere near one now, so I haven't had a Poncho's breakfast burrito in a hot minute.
Yeah, man, you get the that would be good. Now people are tweeting in the phone number for Pizza Shuttle because that's part of their jingle. It was a perfect drunk pizza place, and it was, you know what, last night, considering the circumstances, a drink and a 10-inch pizza for $5 in 2020 is a pretty amazing deal. It was still $5.28 with tax, Cody.
Pizza place next to Kelly's in Westport, Joe's.
I've
had a few slices at Joe's.
Someone says Fuzzy's Tacos. Incredible drunk, absolute bleep sober. Wish I went there more in college. That's from the 913.
Oh, man. By the way, somebody was backing up my theory on Hayes.
Very strongly backing it up.
All caps. Let us know. 913-576-7610. We want to know your drunk spots to hit up in Kansas City. Because they're, you know, outside, obviously in your college town as well.
I was going to say, because I wouldn't hit up Pizza Shuttle for that now. Back in college, yes.
What's your drunk food now? Has it moved? Has the Target moved? Since college, I feel like it shouldn't have moved that much.
What's the drunk food now? It's whatever's in my fridge.
Yeah,
it's way different. I wouldn't specifically call. You've gotten older. You're
like, I have leftovers or sandwich things or something.
There was a place in Lawrence, too, called, I don't think it's there anymore. Somebody could help me out. It was called Triaki. And it was fantastic drunk, like, Asian food. Drive-through as well. You know, real high-quality place. And,
there's a lot of drive-through
Chinese
food places in Kansas.
Triaki.
Yeah.
I don't know if that exists anymore in Lawrence. I haven't been in that area. I don't know.
You got to get back. You're making this whole big deal about the one on Linwood, right by Costco.
But it's not even on that.
The shrimp fried rice. It's a lot.
Rice is good for booze.
It's a lot of fried rice.
For what? Like $6?
Yes.
Exactly what
it's like. 3 pounds of fried rice.
Oof. Keep the suggestions coming. We'll check them out. There's been some good ones that have come. Some places I've never heard of. We'll find
Waffle
out.
Waffle House has been that a couple times.
Waffle House. You can't go wrong with Waffle House either. And they're always open, no matter what. You know, Waffle House will always be there. That's the random question of the day. Coming up next, we head into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll ask, how about an Iowa Hawkeye? One Josh Klingler, the chief sideline reporter, of course, from Festival in the Morning. We got to ask him his former college drunk eating spot as well, and we'll get his perspective as the Chiefs try to get up here for the Jets on Sunday.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.